name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Wham! Kazap! First try. Why so serious?
He's a fast killer.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I'm freaking pumped! I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day!
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Good Day for a Movie podcast. I'm Jacob, joined alongside me, as always, Tate.
What's up?
Nada. We just went for 42 minutes without talking about the movie before even starting the podcast.
Just some good old catching up. Good old-fashioned catch-up.
Yep. How you doing so far this week?
Doing good. Like I was just telling you, under contract now on a house down here in Austin. Very pumped about that. It's a good week.
Heck yeah. Absolutely, that's very exciting. I'm proud of you, Tate.
Thank you. Oh, and we're going to freaking LA here in another week. So,
mm-hmm. We are. Yeah, as of this recording, 2 weeks away.
Yep.
As of the release, like
a week and
10
a half.
Days away.
Yeah.
Ish. How you feeling after that marathon episode we released last week?
Whew. I still think that movie is way better than what we did at Justice. It was like,
yeah,
even afterwards I was like, man, I just feel like a jabroni or an idiot sometimes trying to talk about what they talked about so concisely.
I've been telling everybody, like, hey, if you're gonna, like, the next movie you watch should be Sunset Limited.
Yeah.
I even told my priest today before mass. I was reading and I was back in the sacristy, and he was like, have you guys ever seen What's About Bob? I think that's the name of the movie. Bill Murray.
Don't know.
About Bob. Is that there? Yeah. What About Bob? And I was like, nah, I haven't. And then everybody else is like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. Never mind. And I was like, I watched a movie last week though. Father Seth, have you ever seen The Sunset Boulevard? And he's like,
Limited.
No. And I was told him, nope, The Sunset Limited. I think I said Limited. Sunset Boulevard's a different movie. Have you ever seen The Sunset Limited? And he's like, no. And I told him about it. He's like, wow, that sounds so good. And he was like when I first said the Cormac McCarthy part, and then I said Sam Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones. And he was like, wow, at first I thought you were going to say it sounded like it was going to be super pretentious. And you said those two. And I was like, but wait, they just have theology discussions the whole 90 minutes. And he's like, what?
Yeah. He's going to love it. You'll have to check back in with him.
Mm-hmm. He's our age. He graduated the same year we did.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we're not here to talk about The Sunset Limited.
Nope, however, not. We're not going down that bridge again.
No, not going in that subway station.
Nope.
We're here to talk about Dogtooth.
Dogtooth, baby.
Why'd you pick Dogtooth, Tate?
Just a recommendation from people, and because of, I think, the director. That was where the conversation of the recommendations came up, because it was, I think, started with Poor Things, went to the director, went to his movies, and then Dogtooth came up from several people that I've talked to. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh yeah, you got to see it. And I think it's just being one of his earlier movies, I was curious,
because
I've seen several of the other ones, but
that director, of course, being Yorgos Lanthimos,
that's it.
A controlling, manipulative father locks his three adult offsprings in a state of perpetual childhood by keeping them prisoner within the sprawling family compound. The original title, Kynodontas.
Is he Greek? Yorgo?
He's gotta be. Let's Google that. Where is Yorgos Lanthimos from?
Slanthimos.
Yes, he's from Pangrati, Athens, Greece.
That makes sense, but I would have never guessed that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I guess
like
I don't know.
It sounds like a Greek name now that I know that he's Greek.
I don't know.
I was going to watch this a couple nights ago. I was texting Tate about it. I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to start it. I was like, I'm kind of scared to start it. And then I started it, and I kind of started it late, like at like 10:30. And they just started talking in Greek, and I was like, ugh. And so I paused it and looked at IMDb and went to the languages spoken, and it said Greek, and that was it. And I was like, oh, I don't think I can do subtitles right now. So I hit pause and watched it last night instead.
Yeah, you have to be in the certain mood for a subtitled movie.
Yeah.
But
because, like, I was, in all honesty, if it wasn't subtitled, I probably would have been, like, kind of looking at my phone for most of the movie because I was just not in the right headspace. Yeah. So probably good.
Probably good.
Yeah, this, I think we kind of talked about Poor Things last time and my feelings about Your Ghost, but I can recap that a little bit. I did not enjoy Poor Things, but I see the artistic worthiness of the movie. And so I'm intrigued by his other movies.
Have you seen any of the other ones? Like Lobster,
no,
Killing of a Sacred Deer?
Never seen Killing of a Sacred Deer. Never seen, what's that other one?
Lobster is another big one.
Well, The Lobster, yeah. Haven't seen The Lobster either.
There's another one that I haven't seen.
Say what?
There's another one that I haven't seen.
Oh, The Favorite.
Yeah.
I have not seen The Favorite either. Yeah, so I was like, Yorgos probably isn't my dude after Poor Things, but I'm intrigued by his work. And so I was like scared excited about Dogtooth.
Well, and it has a very intimidating synopsis.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be a horror.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Killing of the Sacred Deer is a little scary on the scarier side. Okay. A little bit.
Yeah. You got anything else on this side? Not streaming anywhere. You got to rent it.
Oh, yeah. Killing of the Sacred Deer. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a horror. I had to remind myself. I was thinking of Hereditary for a second.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, not streaming anywhere.
But. Hour 37 minutes long, came out in 2009. Don't know if I said the year. Yeah, all right. We'll see you on the other side.
Ο αδερφός σας πέθανε. Ένα πλάσμα σαν αυτό που εισέβαλε σήμερα στον κήπο τον διαμέλησε. Το ζώο που μας απειλεί λέγεται γάτα. Είναι το πιο επικίνδυνο ζώο που υπάρχει. Όσο βρίσκεστε μέσα, δεν κινδυνεύετε. Ένα παιδί είναι έτοιμο να φύγει από το σπίτι του όταν...
Πέσει ο δεξιός κοινόδοχος.
Μόνο τότε ο οργανισμός είναι έτοιμος να αντιμετωπίσει όλους τους κινδύνους που παρεφυλάνε. Εύχομαι όταν κάνεις παιδιά να πάρουν τα λάθος ερεθίσματα και να δημιουργήσουν το λάθος χαρακτήρα. Πραγματικά σου το εύχομαι.
Meow. 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 You got kind of a weak bark there. Gotta get louder. Meow. Meow.
Meow. Try not to wake up my dog. Because last time we recorded a podcast, she wouldn't leave me alone, and she's asleep on my bed right now. So I'm trying not to wake her up with my barking.
She would be a watchdog. She would bark at meows.
What the fuck is wrong with Yorgos?
This movie's crazy.
There's something wrong with Yorgos Lanthimos, and he needs to be checked in somewhere, or at least somebody needs to be watching this man at all times.
This, for it not being a horror, this movie was somewhat terrifying in other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your... Okay, so go ahead on your initial reaction.
I didn't like it. I did not like this. I didn't like it one bit, really.
I
think it's going to fall into the same camp as Poor Things, though, where, like, really intriguing stuff, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like it's interesting and like it's saying something and I appreciate it doing those things, but I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy my time doing it. And it's not like a, like, I don't enjoy watching Passion of the Christ, but I watch it every year because I need to see the pain type of thing. This one, I'm like, I want movies to never be made again.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions?
That's funny. My first impressions are that I need to scrub my eyeballs and then I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. As far as all the ones I've seen by him, it was something else. I don't really know how to categorize this movie. It's just so off the rails in such a weird way and unique way that I haven't seen in any other movie. I mean, it's like it borders horror suspense with drama with softcore porn and like also whatever that movie that we watched with Viggo Mortensen in Oregon. it's like that movie on crack.
Yeah.
And anywho, it was very, very weird movie. I'd never want to see it again, but there are things about it that I liked, just for being very different, but overall wasn't my favorite. Didn't love it. Yeah. I think that's the first time I've said it, because I watched it last night and I was thinking about it a lot. So I was putting that together on the fly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like, I had something that I was going to bring up that I don't remember off of what you were saying.
Was it the Viggo Mortensen stuff?
No, it was before that. But I can't remember what it was.
Well, right off the bat, this movie caught my attention because of this like language lesson that they had. Where yes. It was like, and I something about that is the start I really did like, because that caught my attention so well. Where I was like, what the hell is happening right now?
I had to rewind it. Because
yeah,
I thought
I was going crazy.
I was like not really paying attention. And then I like kind of like read a couple things and I was like, airplane means light.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. And I like, excursion was one of the first
excursion,
words.
Excursion. Yes.
And like, I don't know, I remember the other ones, but there was like the first time, like I heard it, I was like, wait, what did I just say that right? And I like rewound it 10 seconds. And then when it played through, I was like, yeah, I heard that right. And then I
kind of thought there was something wrong with the subtitles.
I thought so too. Yeah. And then, when it happened again for the next word, I was like, oh, this is intentional. What's happening? And so it right off the bat caught my attention, and just like them three kind of being in the bathroom being all weird and wanting to play that game about holding their finger under the hot water. I was like, everything about this opening scene is so strange that I am very intrigued. So it hooked me right off the bat, but this movie loses me in other places, which we can get into. Right off the bat, I was very interested.
Yeah. That all had me very interested. And then I think I was just very turned off when he brings the security guard prostitute.
Yeah.
And I was just like so confused. And now that I know like more about it, I dislike it more.
I mean,
that scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's not really.
Well, and like, also like, I feel like that's purposeful. Like, I feel like you're not supposed to like this movie almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think you're definitely supposed to feel very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think you're definitely supposed to dislike the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're kind of supposed to feel sorry for everyone else. Maybe not the mom. Maybe don't feel sorry.
Yeah,
for
I don't
mom.
Feel bad for the mom.
But because I assume she knows fucking what's going on.
Yeah, she does.
She has to.
For sure.
But I definitely feel really bad for like the kids, those adult kids. And I like that. I mean, I like that it came back to bite him in the ass at the end of it. But yeah, that when they bring over the security prostitute girl and she's like blindfolded on her way over. I was like, this is interesting. And then when she kind of just like has sex with the boy, the son, and then basically just goes home. Then they have that really awkward video.
I was in the girl's room.
Well, it, just to say hi and like, talk to her.
But that was weird too. I was like, what is happening?
And And that's where I was like, okay, so clearly like reading the synopsis and knowing that, and then seeing this very beginning of her coming over and being blindfolded, clearly like this is setting the stage for how much protection he has. And I thought that there was going to be more of a point to why she was over there having sex with him. Like I thought it was going to be like some sort of breeding thing, but then again, he wouldn't want to like take anything like that outside the house. So I figured it was purely just because, and I think at the end of the movie, I figured that it was purely just to like let the kid have sex. That's it. Mm-hmm. He's just a male that has hormones, and he's got to let out his, he's got to blow off some steam. I don't know what else would be going through the dad's mind about that. But definitely doesn't need to be included. Doesn't really play into the story other than shows how controlling the dad is of the environment. Didn't love all like the weird sex leaning things of this movie. Like all the licking and the videos that they watched and the sex scenes. Like sex was in 40% of this movie.
And then the daughter starts licking the dad.
Yeah, at the very end.
And
there's something that like the dad clearly is teaching them that sex is just an act, or it's not like bad. Anything around like physical interaction is not, it's no more than what it is. It doesn't have any meaning tied to it or something like that. Because like clearly they all don't bat an eye at like sex or kissing or licking or anything like that.
Yes, but I think it's because they haven't been exposed to why. Like that's good stuff.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's not like it's a nothing. Like
yeah,
like a lick, like licking is not like a.
It's not like a, you're making pleasure. A move on anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I think the oldest daughter is the one that starts to realize that licking equals pleasure.
Yes.
Because of the security lady.
Yes.
But without that outside influence of that, they would have never come to that conclusion. Because the dad was so psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so that's, I think that's my biggest gripe with the movie is the amount of softcore porn in this was crazy.
Yeah. And, okay. Kind of a different topic of the movie. Do you have any idea what the whole other brother stuff was about?
I have a hunch. And my, when they started, I thought it was going to be like some sort of just lie that they told the kids. But I think that they actually had a brother that left. And because he mentions it later in the film where he says something like, you know what happened to your brother? He left and he was not protected, blah, blah, blah. But we don't allow him back in. And then like they do the whole, like your brother got attacked by the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are evil. So I think that they had a brother that escaped or left because he was curious. And mm-hmm. the parents just acted like he was the devil and that he was suffering and that he, like, all bad things happened to him as a lesson for them. So I think that they did have a brother. At least the way that they acted like they had a brother.
Yeah.
Because at one part, like, he has a play, like, the airplane, and she runs over and she's like, that's not yours, that's his, and throws it out. And throws it outside of the fence.
Okay. See, I didn't catch why she was so mad about the airplane.
Yeah. She was saying that. Yeah. Okay. She was saying that.
And so she was throwing it to the brother because they believed that the brother lived on the other side of the fence there.
Yeah. And that's why the older brother was like throwing rocks over the fence. Yeah. Because the mom was like, oh, he's throwing rocks over the fence again. He thinks he's
going
to.
And he was throwing them at me first.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that they did have a brother that left and they just tell them that the brother lives on the other side of the fence and is, or I don't even know if they tell him that, but the kids think that. And
yeah,
they use the brother to further manipulate.
Like everything else.
Like everything.
That's where I want to give Yorgos some credit here for coming up with these like just disgustingly manipulative things for the parents to do.
Yeah. It was a very creative movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucked up creative, but like, I don't know how you think of this dad character and so accurately, either write or guide. I don't know if he wrote it or just guide the direction of the film.
He's one of the writers.
Yeah. Then
him and Ephthemis Philippou.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, A, you have to have a pretty fucked up mind to like picture who this dad character is and also write the script for him and also give the direction on how the dad should act to be so fucking creepy. So Yorgos has a, I don't want to be in the mind of Yorgos, like you said earlier.
No.
But it is a creative film. That's
Ephthemis
a name.
Ephthemis Philippou.
Philippou.
I don't know how to say his name, but yeah. He was also a writer on The Lobster and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
So they do a lot together.
Yeah. Yeah, I... Like
you were saying that you're giving some credit to
yes,
or something
to the like creativity and like ability to portray all of this type of manipulation, whether it's the like words that mean different things. And like, obviously like there was a theme with like those words that they were learning on tape, right? All of those words in real life meant the outside world and like different things, like whether it was like journey or excursion or
flower.
What?
Or the, oh, sorry. Zombie was the one that she said was a flower.
Yeah, but like that one, I don't mean that one,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like
that, not that one.
From the beginning, like the journey and excursion thing, like those are obviously ideas about leaving and like going on a grand adventure type of deal.
Yeah.
And they want to like squash all of those. So they're like, okay, we're going to preemptively take all of these words that have ideas of moving out of the house and make them mean different things just in case they hear them out like somehow.
Yeah.
So they never get those ideas in their head.
Yeah. And they're very controlling on which words they say. Like when they say a new word, like when she said pussy or she said zombie. Mm-hmm. And the mom was immediately like, where did you hear
pussy
that word?
Is a large light structure.
Yeah. Is a large light. And a zombie is a yellow flower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they're very controlling. And I think that I like the part where near the end of it, where the dad almost like snaps at the mom for being like, you're slipping. He's like, these kids are getting out of control. Like, what are you doing at home? You're not doing your job very well. So it is crazy the amount of manipulation and lying that goes on in this movie.
And like he's also training like all emotion out of them as well, or trying to.
Yeah.
Because like when the mom's crying and he's like, you can't let this kid see you cry. Like it almost means like, I took that partially as the kids see you crying, they're going to think it's okay to cry. And like, they never show like joy really either.
They never show any emotion other than anger at every now and then.
Anger and pain when the sister breaks his kneecap and slices him with a butcher's knife.
Yeah, that was so crazy. But like, yeah, even when they disagreed about something, they would just be like, do you like this? And they're like, no. And they're like, can I have this? And they're like, no. Like it was so robotic.
Mm-hmm.
It was creepy.
It was very creepy.
But I think that, and then like the other things that I kind of liked were just like the lens into this lifestyle. And like the little things, like their the tests that they had in their point system, and like the games that they made, and what was the other one? Oh, like when they were talking about food, and she was just like, and I think like it was clear that one of them, like they're kind of training them to like learn or have different skills. Like one of them was the doctor of the group, and like was the one that knew the body, and then the other, like I think the guy was just like kind of the muscle or like the physical one, or maybe the older sister was. I don't really know. But it seemed like they were kind of trying to teach them certain things and differentiate them a little bit. And then also, yeah, when they were ordering food, she was just like, oh, next time you like go into town, because like they knew that he would leave and go into town or whatever that is to them. They were like, oh, can you grab these things? And then, oh, for food, can you grab this? Can you grab this? So it was interesting that they knew the outside existed.
They were just taught that it was dangerous, right? Because that's the whole idea of when the airplane gets thrown.
Yeah.
He has to drive his car to get it.
Yeah.
And so he's tricked them that if you step outside of the gate, you'll be injured. Whereas if you can only leave by driving.
Yeah. Or he is safe when he leaves because he knows how to exist in the world or whatever, or be safe.
But like if he was like, I'm safe. If that was like, he backed the car up and didn't step out. He like leaned over and picked up the airplane.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Speaking of the airplane, that was one thing that I did like, because they introduced the small airplane that they, the first one that they fight over and that they threw out the gate. And I was like, and that was one thing about this movie that I thought was interesting, at least on a director's front and on the way that he told the actors to act, and how good of a job the kid adults did at being childlike. Cause like every scene that they were in almost, it was like, I was looking at a kid, like watching him play with the airplane and then like them fight over it and like throw it out and get all mad at each other.
Early on when one of the daughters is like cutting up the doll and screaming every time she does it, that was disturbing.
Yeah. These actors did a good job.
Yeah.
Like they creeped me out really. And they got into like the mind of a child somehow, but, the airplane one. So they introduced the airplane and then, and they mentioned it a couple times, like, oh, I wish it'd fall out of the sky. And, oh, the next one that falls out of the sky is mine. And she was just like, the next one that falls out of the sky will be earned by the one that earns it or whatever. Meritocracy. And, I thought that was all really weird. But then, like, when one of the planes goes by and the mom, like, gives the nod to the dad and just throws one into the field, and the dad goes, oh, looks like one just landed here. And all the kids, like, just freak out and go grab it. I was like, you parents are insane. So I thought that was I think all the things that I liked about this were the weird, but not super uncomfortable things.
Was the mom pregnant?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No, I think
that was one of their craziest manipulations.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it's like normal. Not normal, but like, it's not like that crazy until the dad was like, and she's going to give birth to a dog. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you tell your kids that? Like how are your kids at a point where, it just would have never crossed my mind that that's something that you could convince children of.
Yeah, adult children, that they wouldn't know what a birth is.
But even like a 4-year-old, like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could convince a 4-year-old that.
Oh, you probably could.
I mean, maybe.
I think you probably could.
Maybe. If it's your 4-year-old, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would never, because I'm not fucking insane. Right. But I think you could convince a pretty young kid that like, the bird brings babies.
Stork.
Yeah. Stork brings babies and dogs.
Yeah. The whole idea of.
I thought it was interesting. Sorry. I was just going to say when they were talking about it and she was like, I'm having twins. It was weird that they also talked in this way. It's not like the parents talked in the normal way and then they just related it to the kids via birth. But they even said, she's like, I'm pregnant with two twins, a boy and a girl. And the guy's like, triplets, two boys and a girl or whatever. And she's like, no, boy and a girl. And he just like keeps questioning on it. And that's clearly just them deciding what kids they're going to get. And then he just decided also, he's like, oh, and we're getting a dog too via your mom's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And like they were using that pregnancy and the idea of it because she said, I can decide not to have birth if you guys are good.
Yeah.
Like it's to something make like, the kids behave better so they don't have to share rooms.
Yeah. It's something like they want good kids and smart kids. And so they choose to tell them that they will have more kids and kill them off if they don't behave. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like that kind of stuff I thought was kind of like, I mean, that's some of like the creepiness that I liked and the weirdness. I mean, it just made me kind of like cringe and but mm-hmm. it was at least creative and well done.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I was going to say earlier too, was the also like when he just puts fish in the pool and then like later they're like, oh, look, fish came.
Mm-hmm.
And like he just gets into the pool and like that's how fish come, is he just brings them home, right, puts them in the pool, and then that's how they get their fish that they eat.
And like it's also like it's just crazy the ways that he would prop himself up and like make him look like such a badass to the kids, right?
Yeah.
Because like that's one of the ways
that they trust
maybe
him.
Not even just the badass stuff, but like, oh, I guess the cat, killing the cat.
Oh, God, that was the hardest scene.
Not the brother killing the cat, but him pretending like he did.
Yeah.
And it was like, I know how to deal with this. And it was like, it would have killed me if I wasn't so skilled or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, then when the brother just like takes the garden shears to that cat, that was fucking fucked up.
Yeah. That was very disturbing. All of the gore in this came very unexpected, like mm-hmm. the sex I started to expect, but every gory scene caught me so off guard, and I because it happens so fast, like when you see the cat and he just grabs the shears and that just happens, and then like when she cuts her brother with the knife, like mm-hmm. that happens so fast where I was just like, ooh, I do not like that. Then obviously the ending, which we'll get to, that's very fucked up.
Yeah.
Disgusting as well and hard. Like, I don't even think I watched half of that scene. I was like, I can't. But yeah, the gore, again, like I want to say that some of that stuff is not needed, but I guess it all is needed in the grand scheme of making,
I mean, it makes the movie really
fucked up. Yeah.
And like, it's not it without it.
Yeah.
The other like super disturbing thing that wasn't the more you think about it, the more disturbing it is. Is when he starts playing Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, my God.
And he's translating.
When he was when I realized that he was translating it.
And that this is their grandfather.
Yeah. But like when he said, like, this is your grandfather, and then he started like talking over like the words, since mm-hmm. like obviously the words are in English, my brain mm-hmm. was just listening to them. And I didn't realize for the first like line or two that he was telling them, because they don't know English, what he's singing. And that's when I was like, holy fuck, you are going through every single thing in life and just manipulating and lying these kids through every avenue possible. It's so crazy. The Frank mm-hmm. Sinatra one was, I hats off to him to even come up with mm-hmm. that. But, ugh. Talk about gaslight.
The dance scene?
The dance scene was the weirdest.
Yeah.
I think weirdest and the least threatening. Like, yes. I watched that and I just was like chuckling to myself almost, because I was like, what the hell am I watching?
And then like the mom got mad at the end.
Yeah. And I think it's because.
Was she being too sexual?
No, she was just, I think it's, I the way I read that was because it was kind of a competition, because like everything within this family is a competition. And it was kind of a who could do better. And like, you know, and even when they held their breath, mm-hmm. They all held their breath. The one that held their breath the longest, they came up and he was like, good job, you won. But also you guys all did worse than what you did last time. So they're clearly keeping track of like even how they're doing each time. Mm-hmm. So I think that she was just trying to like some sort of like the longer you dance and the better you dance, the more respect you earn or points you earn or whatever. So I think she was just, and she was stopped caring about the dancing mm-hmm. halfway through it. So she was just moving her body in whatever mm-hmm. way. And I think when her mom started to take that as offense, like mm-hmm. you're just doing this because you want your points, like you're mm-hmm. proving a point to us. You're not doing this because you're trying to impress us. So stop. And that's when she like just sits down really quick and just eats her winning prize dessert. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I read that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the brother has in that. Cause then that's just a competition between the two girls. But
yeah. I don't know. It was so weird. Do we talk about the scene now?
The last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing I was going to say leading up to it is, like, I did like the how they alluded to it earlier mm-hmm. in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was the dad when he was talking about the outside world and how dangerous it is. And he was just like, you can only leave this house when you lose your left dog tooth. And someone was like, or you're right. Or maybe that's the girls talking to each other about it. But they're like, basically, you can't leave the house until you lose your dog tooth and it regrows.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was like, okay, he's just lying to them about what a dog tooth is. Like, they don't actually have a dog tooth. So whatever he's telling them is a lie, that they don't even have one. But like in the one that she knocked out, I know what she means now by the
it's
dog
tooth. It's her canine tooth.
Yeah. But it like that didn't click for me. I just thought that he was like, I don't even think of that.
It didn't
really
for
like
me either until she went like that in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that tooth.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I like the way that they
brought
it up because it's basically saying like, oh, for like the kids, they're like, oh, there is hope of like going, becoming ready to go into the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not our time yet. And like, and even that one part where she's just like, look, it's wiggling. And she was just like, it's you're delusional. It's not wiggling at all. So I like that lead up and that setup for it because that just, it points a fault in the dad's manipulation of it all because he doesn't ever think that they would actually try and fucking knock it out of their own face. It's just his way of keeping them in the house forever. And when she like has that weight in her hand, I had no idea what was coming. It caught me so off guard that first hit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to put myself back there and like, it was shocking. And like, it was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. So like, I normally never look away for violence and like violence is like, I'm so desensitized to it, especially like Game of Thrones violence type of stuff. Like any of that stuff was fine. Like any like battle scenes, like I'm not like concerned with no matter how brutal they are. Like I think back to like Mel Gibson movies, like that, Aztec or Incan one that we watched, like that was all brutal, but like I didn't look away for any of it. This one, I was like wincing and like, I think I was just like laying on the couch. Like I literally had my hands over my face. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Stop. No. Like it was so disturbing. And I think it was just the whole buildup of the movie that like added to it. And like, just the way that they did the blood and like,
it felt so real.
And like, what made it even worse is that like, she like wasn't really showing that much like that she was in pain, you know, like you could tell that she like it hurt her to do it. But also like if I were to do that to myself, I'd probably pass out and be on the ground.
I just definitely couldn't.
There's
something about like, I mean, I've always hated dental work. Like, no matter what it is, even if it's just a cleaning, like I just don't like it. And Castaway is the earliest memory I have of like a horrifying scene of him trying to get rid of his tooth. Even think about that for Castaway. But so I think there's something about like that I'm very sensitive towards teeth and like intentionally knocking out or pulling out teeth or things like that. Mostly knocking out teeth. Ugh. Because that's what he does in Castaway. He like puts a stick right up to it. And uses like a coconut or a rock. Just like, it's, I don't know what it is about it. It's just so hard to watch.
It is.
But that was a very, I think that's one of the things though that I like the most about this movie is the ending. Because it showed a fault in finally somewhere, a crack in the armor of this manipulation that they're giving their children. Like, the children haven't had a single way to argue about anything or, like, question anything because they're lying about the language that they're using and what words mean. I mean, they're lying about everything. And so, like, the kids have nothing. They have no cards in this hand. And finally, they just, like, and she's not even, like, intentionally trying to question his, like his rules about the dog tooth. She's just like, I'm ready to lose my dog tooth and go out.
Mm-hmm.
So she still probably believes that everything that they've ever told her is true. But
we forgot to bring the two movies up that she traded with.
Oh yeah. I don't know what movies they were.
What?
Oh, it was a Mel Gibson one?
No.
You said Mel Gibson.
Yep.
She said the names of the actors.
Yep, of one of them. So she said both of them. I won't give you.
You can say it. I'm not.
Both of them will give. Creed was one of the names of the characters in the movie. It was Rocky.
Yep.
Still. And it was. Think of what she was reenacting in the pool.
Oh, Jaws.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, that's why she was acting that way in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just another random weird scene.
Because what's her name? What name does she give herself? Bruce?
Oh, Bruce, yeah.
Because that's got to be from Jaws, right?
Or, yeah, I mean, doesn't sound like it's from Rocky. I've actually never
seen
Jaws.
No, there's not a Bruce in Jaws.
Bruce could have been from something else, too. She was definitely the troublemaker of the group.
Yeah. Because she was the one that kept, like, hitting her brother. Yep. And cutting her brother.
Yep. And then she would get beat.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even also talk about the most fucked up part of this whole movie. Was when he stopped bringing when he fucking went to the security girl's house and just knocked her out basically. And was
with
like,
the DVD or with the VHS player.
Yeah. That was brutal. And then goes home and talks to his wife and just says, we need to, and like how quickly they come to the logical decision mm-hmm. of, obviously we need to use one of our daughters as his like sex partner. And I think the most logical way to go about it is to let him choose. And they're just like, yep, I agree. Next scene, he's just blindly feeling and choosing which of his sisters. And I was like, dude, stop, Yorgo. This is just too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was... Yeah, that was so crazy. There's things in this movie that I hope to never see in any other movie ever, and I don't think I will see in any other movie ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading Roger Ebert's review of this. I forgot that C was one of the words at the beginning. Do you remember what C means, like S-E-A?
No.
Big leather armchair.
Mm.
There's this. Dogtooth is like a car crash. You cannot look away. The Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos tells his story with complete command of visuals and performances. His cinematography is like a series of family photographs of a family with something wrong with it. His dialogue sounds composed entirely of sentences memorized from tourist phrase books. The message I took away was, God help children whose parents insanely demand unquestioning obedience to their deranged standards.
That's a pretty good summary. It is like a car crash that you can't look away from. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not really a car crash. It's just a slowly burning building or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to, I think the thing that is the most captivating of it all is the language and the acting.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I mean, there's nothing really special about the house. There's nothing really special about most of the visuals. It's just, watching the adults act like kids was captivating. And the way that they talked to each other was like, mm-hmm. definitely caught your attention. I mean, those are the two best parts of this movie, I think, is the, mm-hmm. the writing of it and the acting, especially the main daughter, the oldest daughter. She was good.
Yeah. Angeliki Papulia.
I wonder if any of these are like still like.
She's in The Lobster.
She is.
As Heartless Woman.
Did you also see that in this? I think they don't have any names.
Yeah. Just father, mother, older daughter, son, younger daughter.
Yeah.
And that's how they refer to them as well.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
I don't really think, I don't know if I have much more. Oh, the last thing I was going to say too is I liked when he was like, oh, I'm coming back to pick up my dog. And he was like, and he basically gave him the version of what he's doing to the dog is what he's doing to his children. because he was just like, I can't give you the dog back. The dog's in week two phase, or whatever, phase two of the six phase training. And you can clearly tell that he's not obedient at this point. He needs to stay with us until he becomes fully obedient. And like when he goes to try and tell him to sit like 20 times, and like nothing happens. And I think that dad just like realizes, he's like, oh, I understand this. Mm-hmm. I'll go home to my kids now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's like, that was the best way to explain it to him. It's just like, mm-hmm. the dog is not obedient. And then he said, ah, I understand. Okay. We need obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty funny. Yeah, it was a fucking weird movie. I would love to see an interview with him on this movie.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I ever want to see Yorgos Lanthimos again. He scares me.
The budget was 250,000 euros and the box office was 1.4 mil. So he like 5x, 6x his money.
Mm-hmm.
One sec. Which one was... So Anna Kalitzidou? She's one of the sisters, I take it?
No, she's the prostitute.
The prostitute. So her and Christos Pasalis?
Okay, son.
So those two were stage actors who were cast after having worked with Yorgos earlier. Mary Tsouni? Tsouni?
Younger daughter?
Mary Tsouni was not a professional actress, but a singer in a punk band. She was singing at one part in the movie. Lanthimos had an open approach to both acting and visual style and felt it would look fake if he involved himself too much in the details. Oh, well, there goes my theory that he involved himself a lot.
Yeah.
Only when rehearsal started did he begin to develop an idea of the style in which the film should be shot. One where he tried to combine a realistic environment with really strict framing and a cool, surreal look to go with the narrative. Huh. Well, it won a shit ton the year it came out.
The inspiration for the film came about because of a discussion Yorgos was having with some friends who were about to get married. When Lanthimos expressed doubts about the institution and family itself, he was struck by the idea about what would happen to a man who went to the ultimate extreme of protecting his family.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty reasonable approach to it, or like how you get there.
The first Greek film to be selected for the Cannes Film Festival in a decade.
And it won.
Because the subject matter, this is a very good directorial choice, I think. Because the subject matter was so claustrophobic, the choice was made to set the film in as big and expansive a house as the production could find, complete with swimming pool and an enormous garden.
Yep. It did make it feel more normal that way. Yeah, it won a lot, actually. It made the rounds at all of the film festivals. It won the Stockholm International, Bronze Horse, I guess, is what it won. I don't know what some of these means. But it won at the Sitges Film Festival. It won Best Motion Picture and the Citizen Kane Award for Best Directorial Revelation. And it won Sarajevo Film Festival. It won River Run International, Montreal Festival, Mar de Plata. Oh, sorry, didn't win that one. Won Dublin International Film Festival, the Cannes, and it was nominated at the Oscars and British Independent. So it won a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's weird that people love this.
Mm-hmm.
I texted, so the person that recommended it to me, I texted them when I was nearly done with this movie. I was like, what do you like about this movie? And this is what they said. I like how the kids are so childish but savage, and the parents just try to keep them naive and destroy their minds, but they eventually become ungovernable. Which, if you just read that, you're like, oh, sounds like a good movie.
Yeah. And that's not what it is. I mean, maybe it's a good movie, but I'm not going to give it a good score. Spoiler alert.
I think it's a well-done movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think I loved it.
It was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film of the Year at the Oscars.
Yeah.
The winner was In a Better World from Denmark.
The Danes.
Which kind of looks like a worse movie. It has worse ratings. Yeah, that's all I got. I don't know if you have anything else.
Yep, nope. I'm good.
All right, let's get to some scores here from the aggregators. 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 3.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 73 out of 100 on Metacritic.
98 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
That's
93.
Anything in the 90s is wild for this movie. Yeah. I feel like this movie would be hated by most people, or not liked.
Yeah. I wonder what the audience on Rotten Tomatoes is. Let's find that. 60. 76% audience, which is still high.
Yeah.
I can go first, obviously, since it was your pick. I'm going to give it a 52. That all comes, like, all of those points is just how well it was made in the acting. But I liked it so little that I had to give it a low score.
Yeah. I'm going to go 70. I think there's things that I liked and things I didn't. And overall, I don't care to watch it again ever. I'm glad I did watch it. I will say that. I am glad I watched it. But
yeah, I don't know if I am, but yeah.
But I definitely never need to see it again. And I will recommend it maybe with more than a grain of salt to anyone that likes weird films.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're a pretentious film goer and you like weird films and artsy things, I will say you should give it a watch. But caution to the wind. Or not caution to the wind. Opposite. Caution fully in the wind. Or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. The next movie we are reviewing is Sage's. No, no, no. Not Sage's pick.
Not Sage's pick.
Not Sage's pick. No, we're doing a 2024 special. Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt star in The Fall Guy. A down and out stuntman must find the missing star of his ex-girlfriend's blockbuster movie. Aaron Taylor Johnson is also in this. I'm excited for this. I'm going to go see it Friday night. We're going to have a special guest on for that one. He's been on the podcast before. Tate, has he ever been on with you?
Yes.
He has. Okay. I can't remember what movie.
I think.
Because I know he came on for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
He did. Which was just Sage, Kale, and I.
What?
He picked a movie.
Did he?
Didn't he?
He was on for the Batman.
Yeah, I didn't do that one.
Uh-uh.
Did I?
No, I don't think so. It was just Sage, Kale, and I. Because we did it on YouTube so it could be recorded.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't be there for the Batman. And I didn't do Justice League. Didn't we have him that he picked a movie?
I don't know if we have. He was on that comedy movie.
That's High School Camp movie.
What?
Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes, but was that his pick?
Oh, maybe that wasn't.
I don't think it was.
Wow, have we not had him on where he picked? Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, yes. There we go. We did. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. There you
go. So he's been on a lot.
It's freaking me out. Yeah, pumped to have him back on.
You were not on the Wet Hot American Summer episode, Tate.
No. So I've missed. Kale's mostly been my
replacement. Now he's Sage's replacement.
Yeah. But I totally thought that Free Guy, Fall Guy was the Free Guy sequel. For the longest time. Yeah.
When did you, like, since we picked that's going to be our next movie, or?
I think when we picked it, like, right before then, I found out what it actually was. Or maybe while we were on the mics when you said what it was, I was like, but for, like, a month or two, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is, like, because something about it being, like, Ryan Gosling instead of Ryan Reynolds. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, another story in the same universe or the same world, like, video game world. So I totally thought that this is going to be another Free Guy just a different AI or a different PC or NPC.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I've heard lots of good things. I've heard it's a whole bunch of fun. Maybe not the biggest thinking movie in the world, but a fantastic palate cleanser for Dogtooth.
That's what I need right now.
Yeah.
I just need an easygoing movie theater movie.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. All right. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can shoot us an email at gd4ampodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at gd4gd.movies. Fuck our Twitter, gd4gd_movies. Don't follow us there. We haven't tweeted something in a very long time, which would be my fault, but Twitter is just the worst now, so it doesn't matter. If you'd like to leave us a 5-star rating and a review on an Apple Podcast, Spotify, any of the podcatchers that take ratings and or reviews, and if not,
then I'm going to knock out your dog tooth.
Then I'm going to send a vicious cat after you.
A killer cat. One of the most dangerous things ever.
Yeah, especially to me because I'm allergic. All right, we'll catch you next week at the movies.
Here, I don't give a damn. Mechanic can be a panic,
but just a good looking man. He's looking at you, kid. And any barmaid,
right here.
When you're terrific, if you're even good, where anyone else, stuff that dreams are made of. To Amy Semple is
equally understood. Go out and try. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Hollywood.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
It's bold in terms of jerking people around, but I may have gone too far in a few places.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid!
What's up?
Brother, why did you recommend me Dogtooth?
You're live on the pod.
This is the best. So good.
Why do you like Dogtooth?
Because it's so interesting. It's so weird. Kids are savages. I don't know.
We gave it, I think I gave it a 7 out of 10. And Jacob gave it a 5 out of 10.
What about Sayaja?
Sayaja is not on the podcast this summer because he's too
Sayaja
busy.
Sayaja doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, so it's a two-man podcast?
Yep, for the summer. If you ever want to come on, we should have had you on for Dogtooth.
Wow. Yep, put me on for the next one.
What would you give Dogtooth out of 100 or 10?
95.
You're crazy.
That's awesome. That's very crazy.
It's the best. Your ghost is the best.
Yorgos
scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. This movie was terrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. I love the knife flash, actually, the best. Just the sprint by knife in the kitchen.
Yeah, after she's like throws his plane out the gate.
Yeah.
And then just hits him randomly with the knife.
Yeah. Just
she just smashes his knee with a hammer and is like, the cat did it.
Yeah, the cat just jumped out the window.
Yeah, cats are like evil. Yeah, I just love their little sick world they live in.
Yeah. Oh, well, and like all the words when she's just like pussy and she's like, where did you hear that word? And she was just like, it was on the VHR or VHS. And she was just like, exactly. It means a giant light.
Oh, no, that wasn't just, that was cunt. I looked it up.
Cunt. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're speaking Greek the whole time, which is great.
Yeah. I didn't know that he was Greek.